This is Captain Rick reporting. I'll be reading from the Wednesday, May 25th edition of the Decatur Herald and Review. The first article is entitled, Court Documents in Sweeney City Case. The Herald and Review's collection of legal documents includes all significant filings in former Decatur Police Chief Brad Sweeney's lawsuit against the City of Decatur. Sweeney alleges that his February 4th firing was retaliation by city manager Tim Gleason because Sweeney refused to support a local gas tax and objected to Gleason's personal use of a police car and driver on one occasion in May 2015. The city argues that Gleason had multiple reasons to fire Sweeney, none of which pertained to the gas tax or police car use. This collection will be updated as the case progresses. The next article is entitled, State to Seek Proposals to Demolish, Redevelop Eagle Creek. Springfield. The Illinois Department of Natural Resources is seeking proposals to demolish and redevelop a long-shuttered resort on Lake Shelbyville. The Eagle Creek Resort and Conference Center has been closed since 2009, when mold was found throughout the state-owned, privately managed facility at Eagle Creek State Recreation Area in Shelby County. Previous redevelopment efforts have failed to get off the ground. The Department of Natural Resources estimates that the necessary improvements, including structural, mechanical, plumbing, and safety upgrades, will cost $17.8 million. Included in that cost is work required to comply with current building codes and meet accessibility requirements for people with disabilities. After reviewing the report and talking with local officials, the IDNR believes it best to plan on demolishing the current resort buildings and seek development proposals for a modern resort complex on that beautiful shoreline site at Lake Shelbyville, Department Director Wayne Rosenthal said in a written statement. We will consider all ideas for the resort that will result in development of a greater visitor destination and the best deal for taxpayers. The department's findings are based on an evaluation of the property conducted by Chicago-based Globetrotters Engineering Corporation. The company conducted walkthrough inspection of the 138-room hotel and conference center in May 2015 and early this year. Among the problems inspectors noted were numerous areas within the hotel facility, namely the kitchen area, banquet rooms, and hotel wings, with mold, excessive waste, and general cleanup issues, as well as the deteriorating efforts of water infiltration in many locations. Spokesman Chris Young said the department will issue a request for information from developers this summer and will set a deadline for responses at that time. The Department of Natural Resources oversees the Eagle Creek Resort and Creation Area through an agreement with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. The Corps is committed to working with the IDNR and local officials in providing opportunities for access to the lake and all it has to offer, John Summers, the Corps' Lake Shelbyville operations manager, said in a written statement. State Senator Chapin Rose, Republican Mahomet, who represents the area, said there are several developers interested in the project. And while previous redevelopment efforts have been stalled, it's different this time around, Rose said. The key is here is to get someone that knows what they're doing from the start, he said. Actual developers of experience, substance, and know-how exist that are interested in this property. The long-term plans for the resort will likely include building a hotel with fewer rooms that can be expanded later if there's demand, Rose said. The next article is entitled, Second Person Killed in Hinesboro Crash ID'd. Hinesboro. A second person who died in a single vehicle accident near Hinesboro on Sunday has been identified. The driver of the car, Carlito F. Molina, 18, of Hinesboro, had been taken to Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana and pronounced dead there. Chief Deputy Greg Dixon of the Douglas County Sheriff's Office said. One of his passengers, Amberlyn P. Humes, 15, of rural Oakland, was pronounced dead at the scene. Another passenger, Lexus S. Hughes, 16, of Oakland, also was taken to Carl with serious injuries, Dixon said. No information on her condition was available from the hospital Monday. The accident occurred about 2:30 p.m. Sunday on Douglas County Road 300 North, about 1.25 miles northeast of Hinesboro, Dixon said. He said witnesses reported seeing the Toyota Scion that Molina was driving go off the south side of the road, after which Molina apparently overcorrected. The vehicle returned to the road and then went down a ditch on the north side, overturned several times, and throwing out all three occupants, Dixon said. The next article is entitled, Teen Drug Dealer Allegedly Stabbed by Customer. Decatur. A possible attempted theft during a narcotics deal led to the stabbing of a teen drug dealer by a customer, which landed the victim in the hospital with a serious wound to his neck. When police interviewed the victim at his Westside residence about 5:45 p.m. Wednesday, May 18th, he said he was selling cannabis to an individual he knew as Simaj in the vicinity of Macon Street and Hawthorne Avenue a short time later. The victim said Simaj may have been under the impression that he was going to keep Samaj's money and not provide him with the cannabis, said a possible cause affidavit by Decatur Police Detective Tim Whitmer. At one point during the transaction, Samaj Griffin stabbed him in the neck from behind with a large knife, the victim told police. The victim then ran home and called for help. Griffin, 18, was arrested Thursday and booked into the Macon County Jail. He was arraigned Tuesday on one count of armed violence, a Class X felony punishable by 10 to 30 years in prison. Griffin is being held on $75,000 bond, pending his preliminary hearing June 1st. The victim was bleeding inside his neck, possibly from a cut artery, hospital personnel told police. The victim required emergency surgery to stop the bleeding in his neck. A witness told police he was inside a residence near the crime scene when he heard commotion, went outside. He said that he saw Griffin outside as well as the victim, both of whom he knew. He said he saw the victim bleeding profusely from his neck. He appeared to have been stabbed, and he ran toward his house, the witness told police. Meanwhile, Samaj was pacing around outside stating, "He shouldn't have taken my money," the witness told police. Griffin was granted a public defender to represent him after he was found to be indigent. The next article is entitled, "Supporters Rally for Exelon-Backed Energy Bill." Springfield. Hundreds of Exelon employees and supporters filled the Capitol Rotunda Tuesday to rally in support of legislation the company says is essential to the future of two financially struggling nuclear power plants. Exelon has said it needs legislative action on its The Next Generation Energy Plan in the next week to prevent the closure of its nuclear plants in Clinton and near the Quad Cities. In part, the bill would extend subsidies similar to those enjoyed by the wind and solar power industries to nuclear plants. Senator Don Trotter, Democrat, Chicago, is sponsoring the legislation, which also includes the changes to rate structures for customers and measures the company says would increase energy efficiency and jumpstart solar power in the state. Trotter thanked those who attended the rally and encouraged them to press other lawmakers to support the bill. "There's a saying down here in Springfield, if you don't get up and shout, you will be left out," he said. Senator Chapin Rose, Republican Mahomet, represents the Clinton Power Station, which he said provides 1,900 great jobs in central Illinois. "This is not a partisan issue," Rose said. "Clean, efficient, cheap power for the people of Illinois is an Illinois issue, and this bill keeps our power rates low." The bill also has the backing of organized labor because the plants provide thousands of high-paying jobs for highly skilled workers and millions of dollars in tax revenue to local governments and schools, said Michael Carrigan, president of the Illinois AFL-CIO. "We cannot afford to see a nuclear plant close," Carrigan said. Despite the push for support, whether the bill will be called for a vote before the scheduled end of the spring legislative session on May 31st remains an open question. Democratic Senator Mattie Hunter of Chicago, chairwoman of the Senate Energy and Public Utilities Committee, said at a committee hearing last week that the bill needed more work before it would be ready for a vote. Trotter said discussions among interested parties, including environmental and consumer groups and downstate power company Ameren Illinois, are ongoing. He said he and his staff are reviewing a proposed amendment suggested by Ameren. Critics say Ameren customers would bear some of the cost of saving Exelon's nuclear plants, but would enjoy the benefits of new energy efficiency programs that will be available to customers of Commonwealth Edison, Exelon's Northern Illinois utility. Illinois Attorney General Lisa Madigan, also a Chicago Democrat, issued a statement Tuesday in strong opposition of the bill. "This proposal would force consumers to pay more only to boost the company's profits further," Madigan said in the prepared statement. "The legislature has more important matters to address than padding ComEd and Exelon's profits. The next article is entitled, New Faith in Decatur, Sikh Temple Opens Doors to Understanding. Decatur. The Sri Guru Granth Sahib Ji, the book Sikhs consider God's representative on earth, rests on an ornate platform at the front of the Gurdwara, Pujja for House of God. Worshippers, each shoeless and with heads covered, approach one by one, sink to their knees, and bow down to the carpet. Then they rise, walk around the holy book, and take a seat in a sanctuary, where the only pews are for people who cannot sit on the floor. It's a place where all are welcome. People come and go according to the meal under preparation nearby for after the service, and no one ever asks a guest to convert. It's also right here in Decatur. Establishing the Sikh Religious Society of Central Illinois 2 years ago, the 13 founders and other Decatur area Sikhs are ready to open the doors of what was once Rock Springs Church of God and help people understand who they are. Lakwinder Singh of Decatur, a founder who owns famous wine and spirit stores in the city, said he recently overheard some customers talking about the Muslim church that had just opened up in their neighborhood. The way we look, a lot of people think we are Muslim, which we're not, he said. That is our responsibility to tell whoever is out there looking at us who we are, but you can't do it all the time. The most distinctive Sikh customers are that Orthodox practitioners do not cut their hair and men do not shave their beards as a symbol of respect for the perfection of God's creation. Traditional head coverings are a turban for males and a long scarf called a chuni for females. Islam also enjoins its followers to cover their heads, but as a sign of modesty, with men sometimes wearing a skull cap or brimless hat called a fez, and women a hijab or niqab, the latter covering the face except for the eyes. Going beyond the surface, Islam originated in Saudi Arabia more than 850 years before Sikhism was born in 1469 in the Punjab region of southern Asia, today the countries of India and Pakistan. It is the fifth largest religion in the world, after Christianity, Islam, Hinduism, and Buddhism. Like Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, Sikhism is a monotheistic faith that believes in one God, but unlike them, reveres no part of the Bible, at least not directly. But the Sri Guru Granth Sahib, a collection of devotional hymns and poems created by six gurus, starting with Guru Nanak Dev Ji, born in 1469, and ending with the Sri Guru Gobind Singh Ji, who died in 1708, contains writings from other faiths, including those of Muslim Sufis and Hindu Bhaktas and Bots. Before his death, Sri Guru Gobind Singh instructed Sikhs to follow the Sri Guru Granth Sahib as their ever-present guru. Christianity says that Jesus is God, explained founder Shamishir Singh Amar of Taylorville. In our religion, anything that is born and dies cannot be God, because God never dies. Guru Gobind Singh also mandated that all men use Singh as their names and all women use K-A-U-R, Kaur, to reinforce that all humans are equal and to help eliminate discrimination based on family names, each of which denotes a specific caste. Many Sikhs use no other surname but these, and that includes Dr. Randajai Singh, a general and collectoral surgeon who, with his wife Manpreet Kaur Randhawa, purchased a house in Forsyth in recent months. The naming conversion, like the practice of sitting together on the floor to worship and to eat, is intended to level the playing field. Whether you are a businessman or just a guy who is working on the street, all are treated equally in the house of God, the surgeon said. He added that the fundamental beliefs of Sikhism are that believers should work hard and honestly, always share their bounty with the less fortunate, and to remember God in everything they do. The congregation meets from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Sundays and 6 to 8 p.m. on Wednesdays, and all people, regardless of religion, are welcome to attend. Headscarves are available, as is a place to wear shoes. Dietary practices are vegan, with the inclusion of milk and other dairy products. Prior to the opening of Decatur's Gurdwara, the 24 Sikh families living in the Decatur area had to go to Chicago, St. Louis, or Indianapolis to worship as one. I have been living in this town since 2005, said Lakhwinder Singh, another founder, a Forsyth resident and owner of gas stations in Decatur and Macon. We would like people from these other Gurdwaras who helped us to join us so we can thank them. We also want the neighborhood and everyone else to come so we can show them who we are. The next article is entitled, Area Fire Departments Practice Decamination Response. Decatur. Crews from 15 area fire departments practiced Tuesday for an emergency scenario they hope never actually happens. Yet, they wanted to be prepared just in case patients from a crop dusting accident arrived at HSHS St. Mary's Hospital in Decatur after being sprayed with toxic chemicals while detasseling corn. We do this type of training several times a year, Chief Tom Williams of the South Wheatland Fire Department. It's something we can't do too much of. The goal for emergency responders is to contain anyone exposed to the chemicals before the problem spreads, preferably assessing them at the site of the incident, said Battalion Chief Mike McGeehan of the Decatur Fire Department. Anybody could slip through the crack, McGeehan said. We try to catch them if we can. The firefighters, including from all the departments of Macon County, along with others from Piatt and DeWitt counties, practiced setting up and using a Department of Homeland Security decontamination tent provided by the Mutual Aid Box Alarm System, or MABIS 46. The response to a call at St. Mary's would start with the Decatur and South Wheatland Fire Departments, said Bill Wood, an emergency management specialist at the hospital. He said South Wheatland stores the equipment partially because of its proximity to St. Mary's. Hickory Point Fire Department would be responsible for providing the equipment for an incident at Decatur Memorial Hospital, Wood said. After the initial response, other fire departments could be called in as needed to provide mutual aid, he said. We need people from other fire departments to know what to set up, Wood said. These guys want to learn what to do. More assistance could be needed as responders are limited to how long they can stay in a hazmat suit, Hickory Point Police Chief Dennis Downey said. We could easily need more people quickly, Downey said. We have to be ready for everybody. Downey said the system is set up to provide instruction in 5 different languages. Firefighters practiced assisting children with special needs in order to improve their ability to effectively communicate directions to those they're trying to help. Wood said some of the firefighters have never seen the equipment in use. Crews from all 3 of the Decatur Fire Department shifts have seen the setup, although some were seeing it for the first time during the training exercise, McGeehan said. Wood said knowing the process of taking patients through the tent, from disrobing to rinsing with soap and water and putting on gown before going into the hospital for further assessment is important. Wood said having firefighters able to help with the process saves hospital staff, such as nurses, from needing to do it and allows them to focus on patient care and other duties inside. He said the firefighters already have the training so they know what to do in that type of situation. The next article is entitled, High Court Rejects Request to Reconsider Blagojevich Case. Washington. The Supreme Court won't reconsider its decision to reject former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich's appeal of his corruption convictions. The justices on Monday denied, without comment, a long-shot petition urging the court to take another look at the case. The court first downed Blagojevich's appeal on March 28th. He challenged an appeals court ruling that said Blagojevich crossed the line when he sought money in exchange for naming someone to fill the vacant Senate seat once occupied by President Barack Obama. Blagojevich argued the circumstances have changed because prosecutors say they won't retry him on 5 counts tossed by a federal appeals court. He said eliminating the possibility of retrial made his case a better candidate for the high court because there are no longer concerns about piecemeal legislation. I'll be right back with part 2.